Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2018. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 11 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. The headline in the Salt Lake Tribune reads, "How Mormon polygamists returned to Missouri and made it their melting pot." It tells the story of a small group of Mormon polygamists who have returned, some just for their own reasons. Some, oddly enough, believe that they have been directed by God to do so, not that much unlike the direction that the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, claimed in his day. What is this all about? Why is Missouri special to Mormons, and why are some Mormons polygamists? We're going to be answering that question on this Monday afternoon. Eric Johnson is our guest, associate with Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and co-author of the book Sharing the Good News with Mormons. Eric, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Why is Missouri special to all Mormons, really, but not only the polygamist variety?
Well, it comes directly from Joseph Smith as what God actually told him. He claims on July 20th, 1831, and this can be found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 57, and this is one of the four scriptures. In fact, more doctrine comes out of the Doctrine and Covenants than the other three scriptures. These are direct revelations given by God to Joseph Smith, and this is what the first three verses say. It says, "Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who have assembled yourself together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri, which is the land which I have appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints. Wherefore, this is the land of promise and the place for the city of Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and a spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse." And it goes on, and God basically instructs Joseph Smith he needs to buy the property there in Independence so that they can build a temple that would be for all time the city of Zion.
Just to put a bow on that, what currently stands on that particular piece of real estate?
Well, right now, it's actually, there is what's called the Temple Lot, and that is owned by what's called the Temple Lot Mormons, a very small splinter group. It was actually purchased in 1831, and they have the rights to that. Across the street, the old reorganized church called the Community of Christ owns a very interesting looking temple. And down the street, the Mormons have their property, but that is the actual property the Temple Lot Mormons own, and they're not selling it. And that is where supposedly the temple is supposed to be built. And even though the Mormon church has built the temple that they call Independence, one of the 161 temples is found there in the Kansas City area, but that's not really the place that was predicted in the LDS scriptures, including section 57.
So let's turn to polygamy. Rather than ask why some Mormons practice polygamy, maybe the question should be, why don't all Mormons practice polygamy today?
Well, and that's a great question, because originally that's the way this religion was set up, with Joseph Smith, who claimed that he had a direct revelation from God. And you can go to the scriptures today, Doctrine and Covenants, section 132. It talks about this. It's called celestial marriage. And so the Latter-day Saints practiced polygamy. Really, it was Brigham Young who made it most popular, because when he moved the saints over to the Utah area, that's where polygamy really started in earnest. And for the next 40 years, was a very big place, had a very big role in Mormonism. Men could not become gods unless they participated in physical marriage of multiple women. And then that stopped in 1890, when the church had what's called the Manifesto. And the Manifesto basically said that it wasn't really a revelation, it was more of a political statement. And it's found at the end of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's called Official Declaration 1, and said that they would no longer practice. Even though the leaders of the church continued practicing polygamy for 14 more years, and it wasn't until 1904 that they came out with a second manifesto where they basically said, "This, we really mean this now." But if you are a polygamist in this life today in the Mormon church, you will be excommunicated. But that doesn't mean polygamy doesn't exist in Mormonism, because while the Mormons don't practice it here in this life, they certainly practice it in a spiritual realm. And so, for instance, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Russell M. Nelson, has two wives that he's been married to in the temple. His first wife was Denzel White. She died in 2005. In 2006, he marries Wendy Nelson. He plans to see both of them in the next life. So polygamy is really still practiced within Mormonism, even if it's not being practiced in this life now.
Mormons who continue to practice polygamy, perhaps not to the extent that, say, Brigham Young did. I mean, those guys,
right.
Those guys had dozens of wives sometimes, but they'll maybe have two or three wives. Why do these Mormons today in the 21st century practice polygamy if the church said no more in the very beginning of the 20th century?
Well, there was a split. After this manifesto was announced, there were a group of what you call fundamentalist Mormons who said, wait a minute, our first three presidents taught this. Joseph Smith taught it, Brigham Young taught it, and then John Taylor taught it. And so all of a sudden, Wilford Woodruff gets this idea that he's going to say that polygamy is no longer allowed. And so they basically, in the early 1900s, they broke away from the LDS Church. In fact, the term Mormon, we've talked about this before, the Utah Mormons don't like that term Mormon. We're using it because there's no easier term to use. But the LDS Church has very clearly said that anybody who practices polygamy today is part of a cult, and they don't want any association with it. It's interesting. After they announced that they would no longer use the term Mormon, many of the polygamist groups put up their hands and said, we'll take that term because to us that has meaning. But they still follow the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They don't follow the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price like the Utah Mormons do, but they do very much believe in the first three presidents of this church. They do believe in Revelation, as the article that you're referring to talks about, where God specifically talks to their prophet. And so they still have many of the same ideas. The Mormon church, the LDS church today, won't have anything to do with it. But someday, we're waiting for the day that perhaps the Supreme Court is going to allow for polygamous marriage as much as it's allowed for homosexual marriage, and then what will the church do? Because the main reason why they abandoned polygamy was because it was illegal, and the U.S. government said that they would take over the church if it did not get rid of that practice.
What do you think about that? Do you think if, and I agree with you, at some point, if they're consistent, tragically consistent with their with their understanding, the Supreme Court will say, well, if we permit same-sex marriage, then we're going to permit polygamous marriage, because what's the difference, what number of husbands or wives you have, or a polyamorous marriage, perhaps. What do you think the Mormons will do?
And that's a great question. They've made a lot of changes here in these last few months. In fact, they just changed the temple ceremony on January 1st and made it much more conducive to females. They have taken some parts out that some of the feminists disagreed with. They're allowing women to, the female missionaries to wear pants. There's a whole lot going on, little things maybe for some, but I don't know if they would go to that extreme and allow for polygamous marriages in their temples, for instance, any more than they won't allow for homosexual marriages to take place. But it is an interesting question, as you bring out, and I would think that if you're going to be consistent, then I think that you should allow for those kinds of things, since it was a mandate that is still found in the LDS scripture, Doctrine and Covenants, section 132. They haven't taken out this whole section in their scripture that talks about this.
Eric Johnson is our guest. He's associate with Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and co-author of the book Sharing the Good News with Mormons. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about Stephen Laub, mentioned in the story in the Salt Lake Tribune, who heard his own voice from God, he says, on a mountain, toiling him to go to Missouri, not unlike Joseph Smith. We'll be right back. Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2018. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 11 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
O morning star, O morning star, shine from bright above.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. lutheranpublicradio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Mormon polygamists in Missouri. Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry is our guest. Eric, you had mentioned before the break the Salt Lake Tribune story about Mormons who have taken a presidency in Missouri, the polygamist one. And they focus in on Stephen Laub, who tells a story of hearing what he believed to be a divine voice directing him there. It was strangely reminiscent of Joseph Smith.
And it's not very uncommon either for the polygamist groups. And there are dozens and dozens of polygamist groups that are scattered throughout the United States and Canada, especially where I live here in Utah. In fact, when you go to Costco, you will see polygamist families in the store buying for their families in the kind of garb that they would wear. So it's not unusual for somebody like him to say that he went into a mountaintop experience and he heard a direct revelation, and then he had to continue to get that revelation. We hear that from so many. There was one leader that was of a group in central Utah who claimed that that Jesus came down and visited him in a room, very similar to the kinds of things that Joseph Smith claims. And so, and then that seems to be appealing for a lot of people who are looking for more than they might even be LDS. And their prophet rarely will say, "Thus saith the Lord," although the new president from this past year, Russell M. Nelson, has said that on a few occasions, that God has talked to him, but that's not really emphasized so much. So that can be quite attractive to people who are looking for something new and something old at the same time, because Joseph Smith claimed, if you look at the scriptures that he's written, like I mentioned, the Doctrine and Covenants, these are a number of different things that he was supposedly told, and so that can be quite an appeal.
So for these Mormons that have retained polygamy and continue to practice it, what do they believe they are doing with respect to their religious beliefs when they take more than one wife?
Well, again, they believe that that is a direct revelation from God. They'll point to the Old Testament patriarchs, you know, David and others, as well as Abraham, and they'll say, well, it was practice of old. Obviously, there was a great apostasy where all Christianity was lost soon after the death of the apostles, and so that kind of idea went by the wayside. But then you have Joseph Smith who brings that back. And so why wouldn't we want to follow what Joseph Smith had been told? He had been directly commanded that he was supposed to take other women. In fact, Joseph Smith had 33 wives, or 34 if you're going to count Emma Smith, and 11 of those were married to living husbands. That's not polygamy, that's polyandry. And then 11 of them were teenagers. And so a lot of people, when they find that information out, they're appalled by it. But in the 21st century, many people might think, well, that has nothing to do with current culture. We shouldn't have anything to do with polygamy. And I would agree, because the Bible, I don't believe, ever taught in polygamy. But for a lot of Latter-day Saints who this appeals to, they like the idea that it's part of what Joseph Smith is all about. So why wouldn't you want to do what Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and these other leaders are doing?
The fact of the matter is, for those early Mormons, the practice of polygamy often led to violence. There are allegations of men being murdered so that a more powerful Mormon could have their wife or their daughter or something, and abuse of the women and the girls themselves. Should that be of continuing concern among Mormons?
Well, certainly. I mean, when you're talking about multiple wives, you're going to have jealousy. I actually got to know some of the followers of the gentleman I referred to earlier. James Harmston was his name. He's passed away now, but his group that was located in Manti, Utah. And I actually was invited into the homes of some of these polygamists, and this one gentleman was one of the apostles of this church, and he had five wives. And I asked straight out, you know, don't you have problems? Well, yeah, we certainly do. We have jealousies. We have the same issues that anybody would have, but it's multiplied when you've got multiple women in the same household and you're trying to run a house, and you can say, well, it works great because she does the laundry and she does the cooking and all of that. But I think naturally God created man and woman to be united, and I think when you get multiple partners in there, you're going to end up having all kinds of problems. And so, yes, there have been power struggles. I mean, even Joseph Smith would send his apostles out on missions, and he would actually take their wives. That's documented history right from the Mormon scholars themselves. So it's not hard to find that information out. And so, whenever you have any kind of competition like that, you can have abuse, and certainly that ought to be something that is considered if anybody is thinking of going into what seems like a glamorous lifestyle, having all the wives and a different woman every night. Well, it's not as heaven-sent as it sounds like it could be.
Then with only 30 seconds, do they believe, in a sense, that they're kind of getting a jump start on populating their own worlds if they are good Mormons and are ascend to godhood? In the
and that is, I think you hit the nail on the head, Todd, because that is the main reason, is you want to start your heaven now. It's a celestial kingdom is godhood, and you will have multiple wives to be able to populate your new world. And so this is a head start. So very much is the reason why Latter-day Saints they're not Latter-day Saints, polygamists who would want to practice such a thing as marrying more than one wife.
Eric Johnson is associate with Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and co-author of the book Sharing the Good News with Mormons. You can purchase Sharing the Good News with Mormons under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Eric, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we are back to our series Introducing the Books of the Bible. We will be in the prophet Jonah, speaking of him as a prophet, before we get into the issue of his odd story. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.